Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
I think it's so important for innovation and job creation and part of the history of the Northwest part of Connecticut, which is really one of the homes of manufacturing. So there are exciting opportunities right now, and I serve on the Science Committee. That's the other committee I serve on the Science, Space, and Technology Committee. And from that position, we've been doing a lot of work on what we can better do as a country to support the teaching of these vitally important skills around technology, around science, engineering, math, computer science, and really looking to see what we can do to ensure that American children and American workers who are getting retrained are competitive, have the best skills, can compete with the best in the world. And a lot of people feel discouraged right now, but I see enormous opportunity, and I think we can do so much better as a country when we work together to look at the positive opportunities we have.
Okay, so give us an example of something you'd like to see move into your district.
Well, I'll tell you, let me give you an example of one of the companies I recently visited, and that's iDevices in Avon, Connecticut. Mm-hmm. And iDevices is like a little slice of Silicon Valley in the Farmington Valley. And it's an entrepreneur, an inventor, who came up with an idea to be able to have an app on your phone with a sensor that you put in whatever you stick on the grill so that you can it will alert you when the food is at the proper temperature so that your steak doesn't get overdone. It's a clever little device. This company has grown from sort of one or two people working in a back room. They now have 28 employees. Yeah. They hope to have 40 by next year. They have bikes in their office. People bring their dogs in. You can get, as of later this year, they're going to have someone cooking, having food available, three meals a day so that these folks can work and tinker away in their not even cubicles in their open bullpens. They've painted whiteboard on the wall so they can write their ideas on the wall. It's very exciting. These folks could have done this startup in Silicon Valley, but they love New England. They want to be here, and they want to support job creation here. And that's the kind of company, as well as helping our current family manufacturers and others, making sure they have markets, making sure that our trade is fair, that we take down barriers, and that we have well-qualified, well-trained workers right here in our region ready to go hit the ground running.
Affordable Care Act. Is it a millstone around your neck politically?
Oh, not at all. I don't think it's a millstone. I think it's an enormous opportunity. In Connecticut, we've had 72,000 people sign up under Access Health CT. Connecticut, like New York, was wise and set up its own marketplace. And that's been very successful, well-tailored to the needs of our population in Connecticut. And we're seeing, you know, a great deal of enthusiasm and interest in it. My office, I have a full-time person dedicated to helping folks in this navigate the process. And so we are excited about what we're seeing, you know, in the state of Connecticut with enthusiasm. But it means it's not, but it isn't perfect. And there are issues that we're getting flagged and in some cases able to bring back to the White House. And let me give you an example of something that came up last week. Mm-hmm. I was contacted by a number of the fire chiefs in my district who were concerned because there was an element of the Affordable Care Act that might be interpreted by the IRS to require local volunteer departments to have to start paying health care benefits to their volunteers. Well, that's never happened before. It could be very costly. It could make it really difficult for them to manage their budget. So they reached out to me, and some of them I know from having been in local and state office, and said, can you please try to get determination from the IRS? We don't think this is what they intended. It would really make it difficult for us to recruit and retain volunteers. And so we wrote a letter to the IRS and to the White House. We contacted them last week, and within 2 days we had a response back saying, you know what, we looked at this issue, this is not what we intended, and the IRS is going to clarify this rule to make sure that you can continue the way you have with volunteers, and it's not going to incur unintended and new costs around the Affordable Care Act, which was not intended to be triggered for these folks who are working volunteer.
So tell me, how come the site in Connecticut, the site in New York, seemed to have been rolled out with more success than the national rollout?
Well, it helps when you want things to work. Yeah. I think what we're seeing, when you want things to work and when all your partners want it to work, and I think if all states or most of the states that were anticipated to create their own sites and their own plans had done so, I think we wouldn't have seen the problems we saw at the federal level. It ended up being a lot more people who were going through a federal exchange than was anticipated when it was first set up.
I see.
There really is no good excuse. I mean, frankly, obviously, it was not well handled. The site was not ready. Things should have been better prepared. But I think we're seeing a serious commitment. We've seen dramatic increase in the number of people accessing, ease of using the site. It was very unfortunate. But I'm glad to see that the administration's been very responsive to that. They've been responsive to me in my office when I've called with issues for constituents. There have been some veterans issues we've raised with them. And we're working closely with them to try to get, you know, any glitches that are out there to try to get them resolved.
We're talking to Congresswoman Elizabeth Estee of Connecticut's 5th District. We're hearing now that there's a problem that young people aren't signing up, which means that older people like me, who have more health issues, are overloading the system, and the young people aren't helping to pay for it. I guess that's the best way I could put
it. Well, I'll tell you, having looked at and gotten some information about the normal arc of enrollments, it's what you would expect. I don't know. I've got kids who are 24, 21, and 18. And I have to say, and I remember myself at that age, you know what? There are a lot of procrastinators out there among our young people. They're busy with their lives. They're doing other things. And based on what we saw happen in Massachusetts, which, if you remember, then-Governor Romney championed this sort of approach in Massachusetts, young people signed up very late in the process.
Yep.
So that it's not really that surprising that we haven't seen young people. Now, if we get to late March and they haven't, that will be of more concern, but I'm not overly concerned right now. But I will tell you, we're doing every kind of outreach we can, working closely with the state, and our numbers are better in Connecticut. That mix is better in Connecticut, and I think that's in part, again, because state, local, and federal officials and nonprofits have worked together to try to make this be as successful as possible.
Let me ask you about some agricultural issues. I know you have farmers in your district. I know there's this whole issue with SNAP and whether or not food stamps are being eliminated now. I wonder if you'd take a couple of minutes to tell us about what you're seeing.
Sure. Well, the farm bill, which is very important in the district, we've got a lot of small family dairy farms in particular, and some other farmers as well. So the farm bill is one of the big important bills that Congress really needs to pass each and every year, and in a timely way, because otherwise farmers don't know what to plant if they're planting crops. They need to plan for their future. Now, the farm bill fell apart twice last year over the food stamp program, which is now known as SNAP, but most people think of it as food stamps. And you need to understand how critically important this is. 7% of active military families receive food stamps. So think about that, Alan.
That's extraordinary. Does that mean they're being paid too little?
That arguably, yes. One can well say they're being paid too little, or that the cost of food is high in this country, and that in order to provide good nutrition for children in America, you know, a large number of the recipients of the SNAP program are families with children and folks who are disabled. So it is critically, critically important and just hard-hearted and wrong to have the kinds of massive cuts that the House of Representatives under Republicans had called for. And that's why Democrats did not support the bill, why I voted against it repeatedly in a variety of different forms. Mm-hmm. Now, it's sitting in a conference committee, so that's sort of the negotiation between the Senate and the House. And when that comes back to us, I'll be looking very carefully at what those SNAP/food stamp provisions are. I'm also going to be looking carefully at the Dairy Compact. For New England, we have a Dairy Compact we have had that helps support and ensure local sourcing of dairy, provide support, recognizing we don't have factory farms in New England. But that's a food security issue as well as a land use issue. We like to know where our milk comes from. We want to preserve traditional land use. It prevents it from getting snapped up by developers, and that's part of the character of our communities. So that's important, too. And you probably know the GMO issues, the genetically modified Food is a big issue in our region. Connecticut's led the way with trying to help ensure that consumers have the right to know through labeling what they're feeding their families. That was a big issue in the bill when it came before the House, and that's going to probably be an issue again, and I'll be looking at that carefully.
But I'm told that the Speaker, Mr. Boehner, has a particular interest in the milk part of all of this. What's that all about?
You know, I'm not sure what that's about, what Speaker Boehner's particular interest is on the dairy provision. Sometimes I'm mystified by people with. But I will tell you, I know why I'm interested in it, because I know the value of these family farms. These are folks I represent.
Sure.
It's important to the character of our community. And frankly, if you think about in terrible situations where you might have breakdown of transportation systems through weather events or, God forbid, something worse, you do need to have local sourcing of food. And that is part of food safety for and food security, as we talk about it, for our region.
Thank you, Elizabeth Estey, Congresswoman from Connecticut's 5th District, for being with us and for honoring us with your presence. And good luck with all the good work you're doing. I want to tell you how much we all appreciate it.
Well, thanks again, Alan. And please, if folks have suggestions, keep them coming, because that's the only way I can do my job well. I've gotten some of the best bills I've been able to get help on has really come from people who I represent who suggest things we could be doing differently and better.